It seems like the older I get, the more I forget. My brain used to tick-tock, and now sometimes it just ticks. And sometimes it's embarrassing. You know, like when I forget someone's name, or where I parked my car. And sometimes it's frustrating. Like when I open the refrigerator door and then I wonder why I'm looking inside of it. I heard about a pastor, an older pastor, hopefully he was older than I am, who was at a church committee meeting one evening, and he was about to leave the church, he was about to turn the lights out of the church, when he realized that he couldn't find his car keys. And he frantically patted himself down, and the keys were not there. So he went back to the conference room, and he looked for the keys, and the keys were not there either. And suddenly, he realized that he had left his keys in his car. His wife had repeatedly warned him not to do that. Do not leave the keys in the ignition. Her theory was that someday that car is going to get stolen. His theory was that that's the best place for me not to lose my keys. Well, he turned out the lights and he locked the church door and he went into the parking lot, and to his horror, his car was gone. He remembered his wife's warning and he then knew she was right. His car indeed had been stolen. So he went back inside the church, and he made that difficult phone call to the police, and then he made the more difficult phone call to his wife. And he said that when I was in trouble with my wife, I would always say, "Honey." So when she answered the phone, I said, "Honey, I left the keys in the car again, and my car was stolen." There was a long silence. And then she replied, "You idiot! You did not drive there tonight. I dropped you off." In total embarrassment, he then said, "Well, can you come and get me?" And she said, "I will, just as soon as I convince this policeman that I did not steal your car." Forgetfulness can get you into trouble, but sometimes it keeps you out of trouble, and the Apostle Paul knew that, and he spoke to it in Philippians 3. And in this passage in Philippians 3, beginning in verse 4, he begins by boasting. He said, "If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless." But then in verse 7, he did a 180 degree, and he said, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ." Those were the words of a man whose life had been changed by Jesus Christ. Those were the words of a man who knew that he had been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Continuing in verse 10, he said, "I want to know Christ." Brothers and sisters, are you a person who has been born again? Are you a person who Jesus Christ has changed? Are you a person who lives by that motto, "I want to know Christ"? then you need to engage in some forgetfulness. Not the type where you wonder where you parked your car, but the type that Paul describes as he continues in this passage. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, and here it comes. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on, he said. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. Now, every person here has had some successes in life. Every person here has overcome something in your life. You have been victorious. And like Paul, you could brag about all of them, and you have a right to do that to the glory of God. But Paul's message here is not to focus on those things, but to focus on the things that Jesus Christ has done. Focus on Christ, he said. Those things are far more valuable. Now, Paul says to press on towards the goal. What goal? The goal of eternal life. The goal of heaven. The goal of eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. His victory is far more valuable than any of our victories. Isn't that a wonderful message for the beginning of a new year? But that's not all that Paul said. Let me read verse 12 again. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul had to have been thinking about his dramatic experience on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ took hold of him and took over his life. Jesus had a plan for how he wanted Paul to live his life. And Paul was saying that he did not want to disappoint Jesus in any way, so he committed himself to whatever Jesus wanted him to do with his life. Brothers and sisters, are you a person whom Jesus Christ has called? He's called you to live your life for him, to glorify him? Are you a person whose desire is to press on in doing whatever he calls you to do? That's a wonderful message for us as we begin yet another new year. Paul said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. In the King James Version, it says reaching forth. It's a very vivid verb in the original Greek. It described a runner in the race, going hard for the finish line, fixing his eyes on that tape, and not looking at anything else, and reaching out to touch that finish line. Pressing on to get there at all costs. Nothing is more important at that moment. That's a wonderful message for us at the beginning of a new year. Reach forth. Strain toward what is ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but my running days are essentially over. I'm just happy I can still walk. Seriously. And I really rejoice when walking is on level ground, or better yet, downhill. But according to God, I'm still in a race. I'm still running a spiritual race for the prize. It's not a contest where there is a winner, because there are many winners in this race. This is a pressing on for the finish line that beats all finish lines. And I can hardly wait to get there. How about you? Some others have beat me to it. And I'm going to see them. And hopefully they're taking a little time in heaven right now to cheer me on. But whether they are or are not, Jesus is cheering me on. And he's saying, Harry, press on. Press on to the prize. Jesus is calling me. Jesus is calling me. And he's calling you too. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth saying, Christian, follow me. Follow me. That's a wonderful message as we begin yet another new year, isn't it? In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. And that's actually what it means to forget what is behind you. Forget the joys. Forget the sorrows. Forget your days. Forget the hours of ease. Instead, press on toward him, the author, the perfecter of our faith, and love him more. Here's some other things you could leave behind. Let go of your failures. Let go of your hurt feelings. Forget about those disappointments that probably don't really matter anyway. Let go of that stupid decision you made last year. Quit beating yourself up because of it. Instead, enter this new year with a resolve to focus on the goal that really matters. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's a wonderful message for us as we begin yet another new year, isn't it? And here's another one, and again it's from Paul, 1 Corinthians 15. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And here's yet another one, Hebrews 12, 1. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Brothers, sisters, these are not just wonderful messages for another new year. These are wonderful messages for us as we enter into Holy Communion with our Savior. The table is set. The symbols are prepared. The prize, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, promises to meet you right here. He calls you to himself. Jesus calls us by his mercy, Savior, may we hear thy call. give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we've been here before, but I pray that as we come today, we will hear your call afresh, and that our love for you will grow and be strengthened and built up, that we may move closer to you. May we fix our eyes upon you and love you more than anything else. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.